Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazegna, the host of Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I want to talk to you about the final things. This comes from the letter to the Hebrews, and it says that just as it is appointed for us to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ, after having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for his coming. I recently had a funeral for one of my best friends. Even though he was 83 years old when he died, it was hard to lose him. We're all grieving him, especially his family, but his friends also. And at the funeral, there were many people gathered to remember his life. During this pandemic, death has been on the minds of many people, including myself, probably you too. Because we've seen the scenes of the hospital where people have died in the hospital, even some with respirators, because they lost their breath due to the virus. And the recent statistics, as I'm filming this, some 5 million people in the world have contacted this virus. Some 400,000 have died, and over 110,000 in the United States alone. So death is on people's minds. And it's not just the virus that kills people. Some 150,000 people a day die from heart disease, cancer, accidents, alcoholism, you name it. And that's something we can be sure of. There are two things we can be sure of in life, death and taxes. So we can be sure of death. But what's going to happen when we die? I feel uniquely qualified to proclaim this to you in this program, not because of my education per se, but because of what happened to me when I was a young man. When I was 20 years old, I had two near-death experiences where I experienced what I believe everybody will experience when they die. And I wrote a book called Death, the Final Surrender, just revised it. It's got the latest in it, the latest material. And in this book, I talk about the death moment. And that's what we're interested in because it's a terrifying moment for everybody because they don't know what's going to happen. What happens at the moment of our death? We all know that we're going to die, but what's the death moment going to be like? And in my near-death experiences, I say experiences plural because I had two of them. They were a month apart, and pretty much the same thing happened. And let me describe it to you this way. Raymond Moody, in his book, Life After Death, Raymond Moody is a doctor, and he noticed that several of his patients on the operating table actually died physically. And after their death, they came back. And so he finally had enough accounts of this, so he wrote a book called Life After Death, and he talked about common elements of the near-death experience. First of all, there was the sensation of leaving your body, then some type of a tunnel, and then a meeting with God, and then there was a life review, a judgment of some sort. And then going back to the body, and then a changed life. So those were the six common elements of a near-death experience. When I was 20 years old, I had that happen to me. Although I wasn't a very spiritual young man, I had just been giving my life to Christ and surrendering myself. And it took months. And then one night, as I went to bed, that happened to me. I had this sensation of leaving my body. This had never happened to me before. And then going through some type of a tunnel. That's the only way I can describe it. And then there was the meeting with God. And let me stop for a second. I wasn't allowed to see God's face, as it says in the scriptures, no one can see God's face and live. But I was allowed to see light. And I was embraced by the light and loved, glorified the pleasure. And here's what I really want to say. Jesus was there and he put his arm around my shoulder and he spoke to me and he said, I will protect you. I will never, ever forget that. In the Gospels, Jesus says, I call you friends. And I want you to know that my experience is your experience. He puts his arm around your shoulder too. He is the good shepherd and we are the sheep. That experience so touched me and changed my life that when I did come back, and by the way, as soon as I came back, I wept like a little baby. I was born again. Just like a baby cries when they're born, you can cry when you're born again. You don't have to, but I did. And it led to me becoming a Catholic priest and becoming a religious. A religious is, there's different communities in the Catholic Church. And I've been a priest now for 29 years at this filming. So I'm all in. I wasn't really a very religious person growing up. But after those experiences happened to me, I totally changed. I had a major conversion. And as I said, became a Catholic priest. So I'm uniquely qualified to proclaim what happens when we die. And I want to say and tell you from my own experience that death is not the end. And I proclaim that not because I learned it in a book, not because I learned it at a seminary, but because I was given these experiences. We will all go through that tunnel. We came through a tunnel into life, our mother's womb, and we're all going to go through some type of a tunnel as we leave life. And then we're all going to go immediately before God. In the funeral liturgy in the Catholic Mass, we proclaim that life has changed, not ended. That's what I love about our church. We're not a death-denying church. We're a death-defying church. As I said, I just updated my book called Death, the Final Surrender. And if you've lost somebody that you love, I talk about grieving in the book and how to grieve. But the main part of the book has to do with the death experience. Again, I really want to impress this upon you. God has showed me what's going to happen when we die, and I want you to get this. Because death is not the end. It's a passageway to something more. And I love what Paul the Apostle said in the scriptures when he talks about death, because we're not a death-denying church, we're a death-defying church. He points death in the face. Now, remember, in the scriptures, death is the great enemy of humanity. Death is the final enemy that's going to be put under Christ's feet. And so Paul, with great audacity, with great courage, he goes, death! Where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? And he says, thanks be to God, we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, death is not the end. We do have victory through Christ our Lord. So what's going to happen when we die? Our soul, what makes you you and me me, is going to return to God. We are going to go right back to the one who gave us life in the first place. And right at that moment, we won't cease life, but we'll still be alive. Right at that moment, the moment that you die, you're going to go right to God. And at that moment, we're going to have what the Catholic Catechism calls a particular judgment, an immediate judgment. You will either have communion with God because of your faith in Christ and because of the way you lived, or you will be separated from God right at that moment. Meanwhile, back on earth, things are digressing. There are wars, they're getting worse, and this is what Jesus said. Nation will rise against nation. There will be great earthquakes, tribulations of every sort. People will die of fright. Can you imagine how bad it's going to be when the end of the world comes? You see, when we die and we go to God, we wait until the end when Christ comes again. We will be with God, we will be with the Lord, but we wait for the consummation of the human race. Now, can you imagine how terrible things will be on earth? Think for a moment about the Armenian Holocaust that happened around the 1900s, where millions of people were killed. Think about the Nazi Holocaust, where, as we know, 6 million Jews were killed. Think about World War I. Think about World War II. Think about all the other wars that we've had. So my point is that there will be great chaos on earth. Scripture suggests that some evil force will arise for a certain amount of time, whether it be 7 years, 3.5 years, this great tribulation that's going to happen. The church will be persecuted. Then finally, when things get so chaotic and out of hand and everything, people are being killed, there will be plagues and wars and tribulation. Finally, a trumpet is going to blast. And it will be the sign in the moment of the Son of Man. And then the great prediction that Jesus has said for 2,000 years will come true. When I was in scripture class, I remember our scripture teacher said that every prediction that Jesus ever made has come true except for one, his second coming. This is called the parousia, his coming. And we have waited for this for 2,000 years. The early Christians used to say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. This is what we do at Advent in the Catholic Church. We proclaim Christ coming again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Jesus will come. And then he will bring the end of all things on earth. We await the glorious second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I am talking about something that you have to use your imagination to somehow get a grasp on. We're talking about the Son of God coming in glory. And it says in the scriptures, every eye shall see him. Everyone on the face of the earth will see the second coming of Jesus. Some will be caught up in glory and others will mourn because of Jesus, because they weren't believers, because their deeds were evil. And it's at that moment that we're going to be judged. We will be reunited with our bodies in the resurrection, some to the resurrection of life, some to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, try to picture this. We're talking about when Jesus comes again, and now we're ushering in the great judgment of God. This in the scriptures is called the great white throne judgment. Everyone who has ever lived will be standing shoulder to shoulder at this great white throne judgment. When the Son of Man comes again, he will separate sheep from the goats. He told us this in Matthew, I believe it was 25 or 26. And what's the criteria of the judgment? Whatever you did to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did to me. And you might be thinking, well, wait a minute, Father Cedric, those are works. The Bible doesn't teach works. You're not saved by your deeds. Well, what we are saved by, and this is what we're told in John 3, the criteria of the judgment is your faith in Christ, that the light has come into the world. Some people prefer darkness over the light, but the light has come into the world and you've believed. But what is belief? Belief isn't just this interior assent, this confidence. It is that. But if you really believe, then you treat your brothers and sisters as you do Jesus. Then you reach out to the poor. Then you visit people in prison. Then you feed the hungry. Then you take care of the poor. You see, if you really have faith, and that's what James tells us, show me your faith apart from your works, James says. Let's get the fullness of scriptures here. Show me your faith apart from your works, James says, and I by my works will show you my faith. So faith includes works, not works of the law. Don't get stuck on that word, works, but works of faith. It's two sides of one coin: confidence, trust, and works. That's what faith is. That's biblical faith. So that's why at the Last Judgment, the criteria of the judgment is whatever you did for the least of your brothers and sisters, you did for me. And that's going to be the great divide. Because if you have those works, you've got the faith. And if you don't have the faith, you don't have the works. That's right from the scriptures, folks. So what I'm trying to prepare you for in this program is the great judgment. The earth is spinning. The earth is revolving around the sun. The whole solar system is moving through the universe. Where are we heading? You are heading for a judgment. And we have to be ready, because that great day is coming. And with all your heart, you will have wanted to have been saved. Because those who are saved are going to spend eternity, and eternity is a long time, in heaven with God forever. And that's what heaven is. You are in communion with God. Remember what I said, as soon as you die, you're going to know right away the particular judgment, whether you have communion with God or you're separated from God. And that's what hell is, eternal separation from God. You will live forever somewhere, either with God or without God. And so my heart's desire as a Catholic priest is to help you to live forever with God in heaven, and how glorious it will be. It says in the scriptures, 1 Corinthians, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has ready for those who love him. And yet it says, the Spirit has revealed this to us, because I have had some visions of what is to come, and it's glorious beyond measure. And every desire of our heart will be satisfied. And the beauty and the atmosphere of heaven will be fabulous. And I want that for you. Please, if you haven't given your life to Christ, give your life to Jesus Christ. And show forth your faith by your deeds. It's one thing just to believe, but it's another thing to believe and to have fruitful works. And you must have fruitful works. Otherwise, you don't really believe. So the great judgment is coming. It says in the letter to the Hebrews, and this is how I began this episode, it is appointed to all to die once. What does that mean? There is no reincarnation. That's a lie from the pit of hell. See, a lot of people want there to be reincarnation because they think, well, I'll just keep coming back and getting better each time. I actually believed that when I was a young man because it sounded good. And I wanted that to be that way because I wasn't a believer. And I wasn't living according to Christian morality. It's appointed for all to die once, and then comes the judgment. Scripture is consistent, it's simple, it's clear. This is what is going to occur, and I want you to be ready. So there will be a great judgment, and right before the judgment, a resurrection to life, or a resurrection to condemnation. Everybody will be reunited with their bodies, but we're going to have different bodies. Paul talks about this in 1 and 2 Corinthians. He talks about how we will have spiritual bodies, how they will be transformed, changed in the twinkling of an eye. He said the blinking of an eye that quickly. God will raise up our bodies through the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that Spirit will raise you from the dead also, a glorified body. And people wonder, what is this resurrection body like? And much ink has been spilled about the resurrection and what it's going to be like. Well, St. Thomas Aquinas was a great saint in our church, very learned man, wrote many volumes, became a doctor of the church, and very few people in history have ever been a doctor of the church, and St. Thomas Aquinas is and was. And he wrote about the resurrection in the Summa, and he talked about the four qualities of the resurrected body. First of all, there will be what he called impassibility. Now, we're talking about our future body. and what it will be like. And he talked about impassibility, and he said that the body will no longer be susceptible to death or to sickness. So we're going through a pandemic right now, and during the pandemic, everybody's wearing a mask because of the virus. Well, in heaven, there's not going to be any more viruses or illnesses or sicknesses. Won't be any need for masks. We won't need wheelchairs, no more canes, no more eyeglasses, no more hearing aids, because you will have a body that will never wear out. Your joints, your heart, everything will be perfect. You will never grow old or sick again. And we're all very familiar with pain and hurt and how terrible that is. So impassibility. And then he talked about subtlety. Jesus, the risen Jesus, was able to pass through locked doors. So the laws of our universe that we have right now, the material world, will have no longer any jurisdiction. We will be in a new reality, and we will be able to do things that we've never been able to do before. So the futility that we experience in this world, the frustration, will be passed away. And then he talked about something called agility. Agility, when you're agile, you're able to run fast. I don't know if you've ever seen an Olympic decathlon, and the athletes, you know, they can swim, and they can pole vault, and they can run, and they can do all these things. You'll be able to be like you were, even much better than that, than when you were a teenager, and you had all your faculties, and you were able to do things fast and not hurt. One time I was standing there, and all of a sudden this bird went flying by really fast and almost hit me. And those who have had near-death experiences and other experiences and have come back and told us about heaven tell us that we can travel by the power of thought. You can go as fast as you want or as slow as you want just by thinking about it. And I've always had dreams about flying. And one day we will be able to fly. It's in the realm of possibility. If we can fly on earth in an airplane, in something mechanical, how much more will we be able to in heaven? And then out of all those, there's another one that I just wanted to share with you that I really like. It's called clarity. Clarity is beauty. Our bodies will finally be beautiful. Remember at the Transfiguration, Jesus' face shone like the sun. And Peter and the others said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three booths so that we can stay here. This is magnificent. And Jesus said of us, his disciples, your face will shine like the sun in your Father's kingdom. Billions of dollars are spent on surgeries and cosmetics and the beauty industry because people want to be beautiful. Well, in heaven, finally, we will have our dignity restored. No more wrinkles, no more scars, no more ugliness. We will have the beauty that we were meant to have. Our bodies will be agile. We'll never get sick. We'll be strong, and it will last forever. So the point of this program is there is life after death. And I want to make sure that you're ready for it because it is coming. And God has revealed these things to me. And then called me to become a Catholic priest, and much to my surprise, given me a platform to reach out to the world. And really, I'm not surprised because what God has revealed to me needs to be told to the world. Death is not the end, but we have to be ready for our final passing, for our death, because we will go to God and be judged. And I want you to be ready for this huge, massive, final judgment. You must be ready. I say this with all that is within me. Paul the Apostle said, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade people. And when he talked about the fear of the Lord, he was talking about the judgment to come. And yes, it is to be feared because it will determine our eternity. I believe that those of you who are watching this program are saved. Hopefully you've given your life to Christ. If you haven't, please do. Just say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I give you my heart. Come into my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to live forever. And then read the scriptures. Spend time in prayer. Reach out to people. And I believe you'll be ready for the last judgment. Death is not the end. I love what Paul the Apostle said. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. So I'm praying for you all, and I'm praying that because of this program and through this program, you will be ready and you will experience that glorious resurrection that's coming. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.